I remember as a Cub Scout many years ago planting hyacinth bulbs in a bowl on a Wednesday evening just before Christmas. The following Wednesday, we would take the hyacinth bowls to a residential care home nearby and present them to the residents. It was my first encounter, really, with elderly people who seemed to be doing nothing, sitting, looking. It was quite perplexing to me as to why they would want these bowls of what seemed to me earth for Christmas. T.S. Eliot's poem, A Song for Simeon, begins, Lord, the Roman hyacinths are blooming in bowls, and the winter sun creeps by the snow hills. I'll read the whole poem later. I don't think that Eliot had been visiting residential care homes with cubs. Rather, the Romans represented the pagans in his poem. Hyacinths are named after Hyacinthus, who was in Greek myth beautiful and was killed accidentally by Apollo, who loved him. There is then a note in T.S. Eliot's poem of death, the death of beauty, waste. Looking back, giving these hyacinths to people in a care home seems rather ironic. Eliot's poem is not a rewrite of Simeon's words, which we know as the Nunc Dimittis. Rather, it is a reflection on dying, a view of mortality, a commentary on Simeon, an attempt to see salvation in the context of life lived, but about to end at the turning of an epoch. Eliot describes for us what many might have witnessed when visiting such a home. Eliot describes the gradual passing away of human life. He writes, "My life is light, waiting for the death wind, like a feather on the back of my hand." Simeon, righteous and devout, has been praying in the temple for years, waiting. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. And if the prophets had hoped for a Messiah to restore the fortunes of Israel after years of being ravaged by Assyria and Babylon, transportation, the sacking of their temple, Simeon had been praying for salvation. How would God intervene? What mighty act might Simeon see before he dies? Pray God there will be a sign. And so Simeon is devout and righteous and looking to see salvation. The decay and death of his life is about to be transformed, is about to make sense. This moment of his death is to become the culmination of his life. T.S. Eliot, who has described for us, as I said, the gradual decay and wasting away of death, accompanied by hyacinths, may or may not be delivered by Cub Scouts, now fills in something in his poem of the righteous life of Simeon in Eliot's poetic imagination. And so in the poem, Simeon has provided for the poor, given and taken honour. No one has left his door rejected. And so there is in the poem an attempt to see salvation as concern or compassion for those most vulnerable. The kingdom of the child in Simeon's arms is to welcome sinners, those who others will despise. Mary has brought Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what it is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. That quotation from Exodus 13 refers to the consecration of the firstborn male, but the type of offering might lead us into Leviticus, referring to the purification of the woman following childbirth. It's not entirely clear from Luke which ritual Jesus and Mary are involved in. But what we might deduce is that the giving of doves or pigeons by Mary indicates her poverty. Otherwise, she would have brought a lamb. And so when we speak of seeing salvation, Jesus as this child leads us to see salvation where there is poverty and to ask what our reaction is to it. In Eliot's poem, you remember, there went never any rejected from Simeon's door. Luke's account of the presentation of the temple is entirely hopeful. Simeon, the Holy Spirit had decreed, would not die before seeing salvation. And it is the Holy Spirit who moves Simeon to go to the temple on this occasion to encounter Jesus. This Israelite man announces that the child will be a light for the Gentiles and the glory of all Israel. There is then an inclusivity about this seeing of salvation. The stage is set for the promise of God to encompass all rather than the specific. This salvation is generous and all-embracing. But Simeon will not see it. His consolation is that the future is set, secure, hopeful. In this child, my eyes have seen your salvation. Now you may dismiss your servant in peace. Not only is Simeon's life set in context, all he has worked for, his future beyond his own death, is now set in the context of God's salvation through this child. And in T.S. Eliot's poem, A Song for Simeon, there is this suggestion of a yearning for a secure future, a greater hope for one's children, which I guess is common in all societies. Eliot writes, "Who shall remember my house? Where shall my children's children live?" But there's also fear in what Eliot writes. And so in describing death, he fears his children being involved in another war Where will they live in a time of sorrow, he writes. And if you are familiar with Eliot's earlier The Wasteland, you will hear in these lines from this poem the desolation of the Great War that Eliot has witnessed. But this poem, A Song for Simeon, is written a little later than The Wasteland, and significantly written after Eliot has rediscovered his faith and has been baptized. Simeon, holding the child Jesus, prays to be dismissed in peace, and Simeon is confident. He has seen salvation. Eliot's echo of these words in the poem is, I think, less certain, fearful, more a prayer of supplication, if you like. Grant us thy peace. An apt supplication as 2020 looks to turn to 2021. In a changing time, a time of fear, a time of virus, a time of instability. Grant us thy peace. There is an expectation that suffering is to come in the poem, as well as in Simeon's song. Jesus's passion is noted in Eliot's poem, and the same prayer of supplication about peace is used again. Eliot writes, "Before the time of cords and scourges and lamentations, grant us thy peace." And Simeon, of course, in Luke, recognizes that the path ahead for the child is not going to be smooth. This child, he says to Mary, is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul too. To see salvation, then, is to recognize that truth and seeking justice for Jesus will necessitate division. Some will follow, others won't. The sword will pierce our heart on Good Friday too. Isaiah writes, "For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until her vindication shines out like the dawn and her salvation like a burning torch." And for Jesus, there will be no rest. He will need to speak out. Grant us thy peace. And in T.S. Eliot's poem, he ends where Simeon ends, in a position of death. But having had the opportunity to contemplate mortality, to see salvation, Eliot writes, "I am tired with my own life and the lives of those after me. I am dying in my own death and the deaths of those after me. Let thy servant depart, having seen thy salvation." And so the poem ends on the hopeful note that Luke and Simeon also end on. They have seen salvation. Salvation, it turns out, will be this child's legacy. Whoever Simeon was praying for as Messiah, however he thought God would intervene to save Israel, the Holy Spirit sent Simeon to the temple that day to behold a child, to notice poverty, to enter into suffering, to see salvation. At Christmas, we see salvation as we behold the child. Let me read to you A Song for Simeon by T.S. Eliot. Lord, the Roman hyacinths are blooming in bowls, and the winter sun creeps by the snow hills. The stubborn season had made stand. My life is light, waiting for the death wind, like a feather on the back of my hand. Dust in sunlight and memory in corners wait for the wind that chills towards the dead land. Grant us thy peace. I have walked many years in this city, kept faith and fast, provided for the poor, have given and taken honour and ease. There went never any rejected from my door. Who shall remember my house? Where shall live my children's children when the time of sorrow is come? They will take to the goat's path and the fox's home, fleeing from the foreign faces and the foreign swords. Before the time of cords and scourges and lamentation, grant us thy peace. Before the stations of the mountain of desolation, before the certain hour of maternal sorrow, now, at this birth season of decease, let the infant, the still unspeaking and unspoken word, grant Israel's consolation to one who has 80 years and no tomorrow. According to thy word, they shall praise thee and suffer in every generation with glory and derision, light upon light, mounting the saints' stairs. Not for me the martyrdom, the ecstasy of thought and prayer, not for me the ultimate vision. Grant me thy peace. And a sword shall pierce thy heart, thine also. I am tired with my own life and the lives of those after me. I am dying in my own death and the deaths of those after me. Let thy servant depart, having seen thy salvation.